Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, and Matt Ellis. So as we're recording this, we've got about a day till the first game gets underway for the new season against Yeovil. And obviously it's on TV. That's something that's happened since our last podcast. So, you know, maybe a few people watching that one. And, you know, this is our usual pre-season podcast. We'll do sort of some predictions and things towards the end. But we thought it'd be good just to come on and do a little bit of a roundup of pre-season and how it's gone and, you know, everything that's been going on. So when we did our last episode, at the time, we'd only signed one player. And that was Andy Boyce. And I think we all said that we were quite impressed by that. But obviously we needed more players. Well, there's been seven more players come in. I think what I'll do is I'll just sort of read them off quite quickly and then we can maybe focus on a few individually if that's sort of what you want to discuss. So Elliot Whitehouse, so he's been at Lincoln, Grimsby, Forest Green, of course. Midfielder, that's a one-year deal. Close Sinclair is back. That's only a six-month job. Marcus Dewhurst, which is the season-long goalkeeper that we obviously needed, that from Sheffield United. Got Colin Daniel. He's a forward or a fullback. You know, again, 1 year. You know, I think he's a little bit older as well, isn't he? So there's a bit of experience there. Same again with Jacob Butterfield, midfielder. So, and he's obviously, he was at Barnsley, wasn't he, with Hill. Regan Ogle, and then most recently, Marcus Carver, both of those from Hartlepool. So you'd imagine a sort of Lee Turnbull connection with that one. Take anyone you want, really, from that. What do you make of the sort of business that we've done so far before the season gets underway?
I think we've done quite well, to be fair, given that we're sort of perennial, you know, summer transfer disaster merchants. I think that it's been a pretty steady summer in terms of sort of incomings. We've got rid of a lot of the shite that we really desperately needed to get rid of. And obviously we've done that. So we've created a lot of space. And I think we've recruited pretty well. I think there's a mix of kind of youth and experience in there. Obviously, the brought in, you know, Boyce, who's kind of really experienced at this level, you know, and to kind of complement players who are already here, who've got a lot of experience, including kind of like Feeney and people like that. And other kind of highlights, obviously, Butterfield, you know, massively experienced, but kind of a good ball player midfielder, which we probably lacked a little bit, which would kind of complement people like, you know, Beeston and obviously Whitehouse has come in as well. So I think, yeah, I think it looks okay. I think we're still a little bit short up front and obviously Carver's come in, but he's not match fit yet. So we probably won't see him for, you know, I don't think he won't. I think Hill said he won't feature on Saturday. So we probably won't see him for sort of 10 days, something like that in the squad. So we still need to kind of look at, I still think we need probably a couple more strikers, to be honest, maybe another centre back, you know, and maybe a kind of a winger or something like that. But obviously we don't know if Hill's even going to kind of play with wingers this season. But I think that, you know, pretty steady. I thought before we started making his signings and he was getting, you know, kind of advance into the summer months and we were looking a bit of a mess. And kind of the last podcast, really, we obviously just signed Boyce and we were still relatively concerned that we're not brought enough in. And I thought that, you know, we were sort of like relegation candidates. But I think that after bringing in kind of obviously eight players in, I think we'll be comfortable enough in the league. You know, obviously we'll go to predictions later, but I think, like, you know, by and large, the recruitment's been good. It's been solid. It's been steady. It's not been spectacular. And I think that we're probably, hopefully, I'd like to see maybe another two or three coming. I don't know if that'll happen or not. I know there was supposed to be another loanee coming in this week that's not happened yet as we record this. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how we get on. But, you know, steady, quite pleased, I think, is the operative word. Yeah, not over the moon, not disappointed. But we see, I think we've mainly got it right.
Yeah, to be honest, I think, you know, when we were kind of talking about it in the summer, we were very slow off the mark, really, with the signings we made. I think the rest of the division had, some of them had recruited sort of five, six players, and I think we'd only signed Boyce. I think that was the last time we spoke. But having said that, you know, although we got off to a slow start, I think, as Matt said there, the players we've signed are okay, I think, by and large. I think, you know, no real kind of standout name. I suppose Butterfield's the one who's played a lot of football at a much higher level, with, you know, a lot of experience and real quality if we can keep him fit. So I think that's kind of a major one really to get over the line. So I was really kind of impressed with that one. But I think the others, you know, there's a few wild cards in there. I think Ogle, you know, he's not played that much where he's been. I know he's been at Accrington and Hartlepool, but, you know, he's not featured heavily, I would say, for them, you know. Although when he has played, by all accounts, last season for Hartlepool, he played really well and he seems a really committed player, which is, you know, which is what we want. And Carver as well, you know, we don't really know much about him. I think he's obviously struggled with the step up to the Football League with Hartlepool. But I think if you look at his goal return, certainly in the National League South, I think it was, or was it North? Maybe North for Southport. You know, he's had a really good goal return. So, you know, hopefully that we might see him, you know, become quite, you know, I wouldn't say prolific, but I think hopefully we can look at him for a few goals. You know, hopefully the National League is sort of a nice balance between obviously the National League North and South and obviously the Football League. So that'll be interesting to see how he does. But I think, you know, it's difficult with pre-season games because, you know, we generally have an okay pre-season, even, you know, the last couple of seasons, which have been awful. You know, we've done okay and we've had a couple of results where you think, actually, we played quite well, we looked okay. So I think the big test is definitely going to be this weekend. However, you know, I was quite optimistic. I'm quite optimistic ahead of the weekend. And I think Keith Hill is as well, to be honest. Obviously, last season, he was very honest at times, you know, when we weren't good enough. And he kind of said, you know, the squad's not good enough. You know, the player's not kind of buying into what he wants to do. But I think he's obviously, you've got to be positive before the start of the season. But if you read what he said and you listen to what he said, he does seem fairly happy with sort of the recruitment he's done. You know, I was just reading yesterday and he's saying that everyone's buying into what he wants to do. You know, that he trusts everyone, that there's been some good relationships built in this 6-week pre-season. And he said they're very optimistic. And I think, you know, he's obviously got to say that. There's no point going into a season with a defeatist attitude. But I do think he's maybe quietly confident that we'll do okay. You know, I'm not expecting too much. And again, I'm not going to make any predictions because, you know, we kind of get it wrong every year. I do think it might be a struggle at times, especially if some of those kind of key players get injured. I think we've got a decent 11, maybe 13 players. And then, you know, after that, we're struggling a little bit. I know, obviously, I've got quite a few good young players coming through who did get experience at the back of last year who will help. But I do think, you know, if one of the centre-backs gets injured, one of the strikers gets injured, you know, we're really thin on the ground again. I think that's where we might kind of struggle a little bit. But I'm not expecting that much. You know, I would be happy with sort of lower mid-table and, you know, a few wins and some decent football. I think that's kind of what everyone's hoping for. And, you know, if we do better than that, then great. But yeah, I'm not setting my sights too high. But I hope, you know, with the signings he's made, there's a nice kind of mix of experience and some of the young players, you know, we should really be staying up. But, you know, famous last words.
You mentioned it there, actually, but that was my next point I was going to come on to, was the sort of the depth of the squad, because I agree with you. I think we have got a reasonably solid, you know, starting 11. But like you say, you know, injuries to certain players, any suspension, anything like that. I mean, and you just think back, you know, I know all teams throughout a season are going to suffer with injuries, but, you know, we seem to get it more than most, don't we? You know, and how many people do we lose every season? Is the depth concerning? And then maybe to counteract that, I suppose, do you think it's slightly different given the fact that, you know, we're not, as far as I understand it, we're not held to transfer windows like we are in the Football League. And, you know, in theory, we could get like a short-term cover, you know, maybe easily. I don't know. It depends sort of who's available and things like that.
I think that's how it's supposed to work. I think, you know, it should be easy to just kind of dip in and get a player on sort of like non-contract terms or something like that. But it's, you know, I prefer we didn't do it this way with a smaller squad. However, you know, we are a little bit paper thin in places. I think you're completely right. And one or two injuries to the key players and we're looking pretty, you know, sort of difficult to see as being competitive, I suppose, with injuries there. So It's nicer to have the backup players in there to create competition for places and things like that before the season starts. Obviously, I realise we're working to a sort of a specific budget, really. So maybe that's not the case at the moment. So it's not ideal. But having said that, if you can kind of just like go out and sign a player without any sort of transfer window restrictions, it makes it a little bit easier than it would do in the Football League. Hopefully, that'll sort of be kind of remedied if the obviously the kind of new owners come in kind of in good time and then maybe inject a little bit of extra cash so we could go out and bring a few more players in that we need to cover those spaces or make, you know, create more competition for the first team spaces. But yeah, again, it is a concern, and you are right, we always get injuries, and you know, obviously Hallam's already out long term again, so you know, it's another man down, it's another space, it's just another kind of wage that's essentially wasted on a player who can't play. So you know, I'm sure that's something that kind of the manager would have looked to kind of address with the signings he's made. However, some of the ones that have come in, that there is question marks over the fitness. You know, obviously Carver's come in, he's not fit at the moment. And kind of some other players who kind of got relative history of injury. But again, you know, sometimes we're restricted to signing these players just because not everybody wants to come to Scunthorpe because the kind of the plight we're in at the minute. So it's sort of a catch-22. It's difficult. You can't really win either way. But we'll have to just see how we go, really, and just hope that there's a few more signings coming like on the horizon. Apparently there was supposed to be, as I said, somebody coming in this week, but they've not come in yet. So, you know, hopefully change of owners and a little bit of kind of more impetus on going out and signing more players is what we can hope to see. But as the squad stands at the minute, without an injuries, we are going to be competitive. But as you said, you know, a couple of injuries and we're looking a little bit, you know, it's a little bit concerning with that.
You mentioned the owners there. I think, should we just maybe do that now? Because, you know, it feeds in and it's something that we obviously spoke to Peter Swan and, you know, everything was going in the right direction, seemingly. There was indication that it might be done before the season. I think that's looking extremely unlikely now, unless it's just our luck that we'll finish recording and something will get announced, as it often does. But, you know, what are you making of the situation? Do you think the fact that we are going to go in, you know, without new owners seemingly is a problem or not? Because, I mean, the actual atmosphere around the club, maybe this is something we can talk about as well, it seems to be a lot more optimistic, a lot more positive, certainly in the last couple of weeks. I know there's been a heavy emphasis on, you know, Turnbull's been going out in the community and things like that. And, you know, there seems to be, a big effort of a lot of things going on before the game starts tomorrow, you know, outside the ground and things like that. So I think there has been a bit of a shift in atmosphere. But what do you make of the sort of owner and the takeover situation at the minute?
Yeah, I mean, it's the difficult one because, to be honest, I think, you know, if we were as close as, you know, Swan came on a few weeks ago and said, you know, we're in the final stages and a bid's been accepted or, you know, a price has been accepted and it was just the fit and proper person's test to complete, you know, we now understand that's been completed. So, you know, we must be in the, you know, towards completion. I think to get from sort of the end of last season, when he did say he'd be willing to sell the club, to this point now, you know, it's not taken that long, really. I think other clubs have been in this situation a lot longer. I know Oldham have obviously got their takeover done relatively quickly as well, so it proves it can be done. But I do think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not taken that long. You know, obviously nothing's complete yet, but spoke to Swan this morning and he said it was still ongoing, hadn't fallen through or anything like that, because obviously I think people were hoping it would be done before this weekend. There was suggestion it could potentially be. I think Swan sort of suggested if all the paperwork came back and things were kind of ready to go, it could potentially be done in, you know, before the start of the season, and the ownership of the ground and things like that could be transferred within a couple of days. Obviously that's not happened at the moment, but you know, I think we still are close. You know, I think obviously rumours, the longer it goes on, people will be saying, you know, it's fallen through, this and that, but apparently not. You know, it's still ongoing, and you know, we'll have to see. But I don't think anything's going to happen now before the Oval game. I think you know, it's going to be next week at the earliest. But it does sound like, you know, that there's still kind of a few little things to sort out, and that's, you know, that work's going on behind the scenes. But I think, yeah, to get to this stage, you know, I know a lot of fans would like it done as soon as possible. I think Swan would like it done as soon as possible. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not a straightforward process. There's various things that, that need to be done, and I'm sure that you know, it will get done eventually. But yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see how, you know, some of the fans react at the weekend. Obviously, as you say, Brad, there's been a big emphasis on trying to create a bit more of a positive atmosphere. And I think Lee Turnbull and Neil and a few others deserve, you know, James and a few others at the club deserve a lot of credit for that, because I think they've, you know, put in a lot of work in the past couple of weeks, you know, to try and make this Yeovil game something to look forward to and try and get things right off the pitch in terms of sort of the pre-match entertainment. And I understand there's going to be a marquee and things there the weekend, so that's a step forward. But again, you know, until that sale's done, I do think the ones that are staying away, yeah, I still don't think there's enough really to tempt them back as yet. You know, although that is a shame because of the work that's been going on. I think that there are some that just won't return until obviously new owners are in place.
I suppose tomorrow being on the TV as well sort of gives an extra option as well, in that you could still see the game without actually being there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this year, without the iFollow and things like that, given there's no iFollow in the National League, obviously it's going to be more difficult for fans to actually stay away but still watch the game. You know, it's just going to be commentaries and that's it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the next few weeks. But yeah, with the Yeovil, you know, it's obviously a long way for them to travel. I can't see them coming in very big numbers, given the reason, you know, you just said. You know, I think even when they come in the league, it was they only brought a couple of hundred. And given it's going to be on telly tomorrow, you know, we'll be looking for 100, I think, coming from Yeovil. So, yeah, the crowd's going to be really interesting, given a bit more positivity around the place, given the signings of late and some decent pre-season results. It's going to be a good gauge, really, to see how many people do turn up. I think with the season tickets, they definitely sold more than I thought they would. I actually was a little bit concerned it might be below 1,000 this season, given, you know, everything that's gone on. But you know, I think that was a good effort to sell as many as they have. But yeah, I think we might just get over 2,000. But yeah, I can't see much more than that, to be honest. And it's going to be interesting how the fans react. Obviously, the back end of last season, we saw the protests, things like that. Not really heard anything for the weekend. And I do think, you know, kind of judging on social media, things like that, you know, quite a few of them that were sort of protesting at the back end of the season. I think they do understand that Swan is trying to sell the club and we are close to selling the club. So, you know, hopefully that gets done sooner rather than later for everyone concerned, really.
Well, I think just before we sort of wrap up and maybe look at the season as a whole, as Matt says at the beginning, we've had a couple of questions in. Again, we've covered a fair amount of it, but well, how about this one? Yeah, because this is something that's been on, you know, a lot of people have been talking about. Who do we think our top goal scorer will be this season? And I suppose it is an interesting question, isn't it, really? Because I think, I think we'd probably like another striker in, wouldn't we? But it's even if you get that, it's very difficult to get your sort of, you know, your 15, 20 goals a season, you know, striker. They're sort of not there, or they're not coming to Scunthorpe, are they?
No, I think it's a difficult one to call, actually, because I think, like, sort of traditionally Hills teams have been, they don't have like one top scorer. They quite a lot of players chip in with goals. And I think that's probably what it's going to be like this season. And I can't personally see, you know, at the moment in the squad, you know, who's going to score most of our goals. You know, like nobody's particularly got a great scoring record. You know, for Nuttall, for example, has barely scored any. Having said that, I think he probably will have a decent season. But I don't really know who's going to be our top scorer. You know, I genuinely couldn't say. I don't know, which is not very useful, is it, to be honest? But I don't know. I think we're probably going to have a lot of players. If we have a relatively decent season, who might get to like 6 or 7 goals each, and we might have, you know, a few players on that. And I think it'd be interesting to see how key set pieces are in this league as well, because, again, you know, kind of Boyce and Taft are pretty big. So hopefully they'll be chipping in with goals from set pieces, from corners and things like that. And obviously if O'Malley's fit and playing and he's taking the set pieces, he's got a great, you know, great deliverer of the ball in through set pieces. So we really should be scoring plenty of goals from set pieces this season. And obviously watching some of the kind of the games from the playoffs at the end of last season for the National League, there was a huge emphasis on scoring goals from set pieces, you know, long throws, corners, free kicks and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be integral to kind of how we perform this season. So it'd be good to see us score a lot of set pieces. And I remember when, you know, oh God, it was, ages ago when Butler scored like 18 goals from centre-back or something insane like that. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, obviously that's not going to happen. So it'd be interesting to see, but I honestly cannot single out one player who's going to score more goals than anybody else. And it would not surprise me if one of the players that does that this season isn't actually here yet as well.
Yeah, again, it's difficult to call. I think if you look at the pre-season games, obviously Feeney's weighed in with a few. It's going to be interesting now Carver's in, how obviously Nuttall and Carver work. You know, is it going to be two up front? Is it going to be sort of... It's going to be interesting because obviously we've seen that 4-3-3 in pre-season as well. I know Nuttall sort of played wider than three as well in certain games in pre-season rather than down the middle. But I think if you look at Nuttall in pre-season, he's not really... I think he's maybe scored one, but he did create quite a few. I think he's maybe got 2, 3, 4 assists. And I think that's going to be interesting this year because obviously didn't really score many last season when he came in. However, you know, I think there's definitely something there with him. I know obviously a lot of fans haven't really forgiven him for what happened at the back end of last season. But I do think there's something there, and I just hope, you know, with a full pre-season under his belt that he can kind of start to prove a few people wrong, to be honest. I think he definitely does have the ability, and it's going to be interesting, really, of the two, Carver and Nuttall, you know, who's going to be sort of your target man, who's going to be laying it off, you know, that kind of thing, and who's going to be kind of in and around the box to kind of, you know, put the ball in the net. It's going to be interesting to see, because I think Hill was talking about Carver as a bit more of a target man, whereas I've seen, you know, fans of other clubs he's played for that say he's a bit of a poacher, and, you know, he'll just be a bit of a goal hanger, and maybe that's what we've been missing as well for the last couple of seasons. So, I think, as Matt says, there's a few that could chip in with goals. I'd like to see Beeston get back to form, really. Obviously, last season, a bit of a write-off, wasn't it, given COVID and things like that. You know, I think if he's back and he's fully fit and firing, you know, you'd hope he can chip in with maybe 5 or 6 from midfield. You know, we saw him do it a couple of seasons ago when he came up with some really good goals, you know, arriving late into the box and finishing things off. And, you know, given we've got a couple of other players, Whitehouse and obviously Butterfield in central midfield as well, maybe that'll give him more licence to get forward and get on the end of things. And I think in pre-season, he's already done that, hasn't he? He's definitely scored one, the Sheffield United game, where he scored one that when he was kind of arriving late. So yeah, he's one. You know, if he's fully fit, he should be a decent player at this level. Obviously, as we've said, Feeney and the two centre backs as well. I think they both scored in pre-season, which is good. And we should be really scoring more from that delivery that Matt mentions there, because, you know, O'Malley's got fantastic delivery. And I think actually Daniel, from what I've seen in pre-season, I know he's missed a couple of games. But that Sheffield United game, you know, he's put a couple of good balls in, got a couple of goals himself. So, you know, he might chip in as well. But I do think it's going to be sort of a team effort rather than sort of all on one man. And I think that's what you want. But yeah, it's just whether we've got enough goals in this side, really. And I think obviously time will tell. I know there's a lot of fans that would say, you know, we've got no goals in the side. I think there's others that maybe look at it, you know, potentially like we're looking at it, like the goals may be shared. But yeah, we do need to start creating more. And I think pre-season shown that we might be on the right way, you know, the right path to do that. But yeah, I suppose we'll know more in the next couple of weeks.
Maybe just one more before we look to wrap up. One from Stefan here says, do you think the lack of pace in the team will be a problem? Do you think there is a lack of pace with sort of what we've got? And I suppose it will also then come into sort of what we've just been saying there in terms of how actually Hill sets up that first 11 as well.
Yeah, you know, I think I saw one of the National League previews and they were kind of highlighting lack of pace at the back. You know, Boyce and Taft might get caught for pace. I don't know, really. It's difficult because, you know, you think back to sort of probably, well, certainly one of our best defensive partnerships, central defensive partnerships, I can remember in Crosby and Steve Foster. And, you know, neither were really quick, you know, but I think it was all about positioning with those two. And you look at Boyce, I think Taft, I mean, we've seen him over the past couple of seasons really struggle, to be honest. Especially last season, you know, he was really poor. But I think with Boyce alongside him, hopefully he'll be able to talk him through the games. And I think both of them, really, with the amount of experience they have, should be able to read the game a little bit more, should be able to, you know, positionally, they should be able to kind of maybe negate the pace a little bit that maybe we'll come up against. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I've not seen enough of pre-season, to be honest, to kind of know whether we're short on pace. But, you know, I think it would be nice to have some up front, you know, on the wing, something like that. I think, you know, we had it in Green, didn't we? And I know we didn't have a massive amount of footballing ability, but every now and again, you know, he did look quite good when we used his pace. And I think, you know, someone like that with a bit more end product would be good. Whether we can find someone, who knows? But I think, yeah, it's going to be evident, isn't it, in the next couple of weeks, whether we are lacking a little bit in pace. I think pre-season, you know, not really. I think the Rochdale game, you look at the goals of the Rochdale game, but obviously Boyce, I don't know if Boyce played that one. I can't remember if he played that one, but I think he was missing.
No, that was the one where I think he came on for like a minute at the end. That was one of the only ones I did actually manage to get to this pre-season. He came on right at the end.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we probably saw defending a bit like last season, didn't we? Where, you know, not particularly organised, some mistakes creeping in and maybe caught for pace a little bit. So I think Boyce is actually going to be key, keeping Boyce fit to talk the rest of them through and kind of, you know, get them to defend as sort of he expects and as a bit of a defensive sort of partnership. I think if we do miss him for any length of time, I think we might struggle a little bit. And I think that's the key thing, really. I think it's more organisational rather than pace. So hopefully not, but yeah, it's a good point.
Let's start to bring this to a close then. So on these ones, we often have done like a prediction for the season. I think it's very hard to do for this year because it's sort of new territory, isn't it? You know, we don't really know a lot of these teams, don't really know how it's going to go. As I say, we can sort of analyse pre-season as a whole like we are doing, but until you sort of see them in action in the sort of the proper fixtures, you don't really know, I think, how it's going to go. I don't know. For me, I think when we went down last season, I was concerned that it might be, you know, same again. I think with what we've brought in so far and hopefully if we, you know, if there's new owners and as Matt was saying, a little bit more money, maybe we get another couple in as well. I don't think we're going to be going down. I'm not expecting really anything else. I think mid-table would be probably what I'm looking at this season. I think that's where I'd expect us to be right about now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give you two predictions and I'm always wrong. So, you know, don't listen to what I'm saying. But I think without new owners being kind of secured or announced in good time, I think we're going to be looking at about 11th. However, if we do get the new owners in and they come in with a little bit of intent and a little bit of money to kind of invest in the playing squad, I think we might be looking close to 7th.
Wow. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not that optimistic. I think we'll be okay. I don't think we're going to go down. I hope not anyway, but I do think, you know, if we can keep that sort of nucleus of the squad together and fit, I think we'll be okay. I'm with you, Brad, to be honest. I'd be happy with mid-table. But I do think it's going to be interesting, obviously, the ownership situation. If that gets done, if they come in and want to kind of strengthen the side a little bit, maybe make some cash available for Hill to spend. You know, who knows? But I think at the moment with the players we've got in, some of the young players coming through, you know, I think we've got to consolidate. I think that's the main thing. I think the worst thing we can do is get off to a really bad start and, you know, be looking over our shoulder early on, because I think we know, you know, from experience, once we get into that sort of losing run, it's been very hard to get out of it, especially with a young side. I know we've got a few more experienced players in there this season, which will help. But yeah, I think it's really, it could go many ways, but I think there's different things that can kind of influence that. And that ownership situation is certainly one, because I think at the moment, whether we've got any more room in the budget, you know, I'd heard there was a little bit of room to manoeuvre before Carver came in. You know, you'd hope there'd maybe enough money there for one more, at least. You know, if we get someone in on loan, you know, that might be a way we can do it. But, you know, yeah, as I say, if that new owner comes in and wants to spend a little bit of money, then that kind of changes things completely again. You know, if we sign the right players with that budget. But, you know, I think Keith sounds a little bit more optimistic than last season. you know, he said there's a plan. He said there's a bit more of an identity. And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, he's got to deliver now. I think he's made the squad his own. He's obviously brought some young players through, which, you know, he believes they're good enough. And I think ultimately now, you know, he's got to deliver. The team have got to deliver. And I'm sure he'll be aware of that as well, because, you know, if a new owner comes in and things aren't quite going to plan, you know, you think back to when Swan came in, obviously it wasn't going too well for Lawsy. He wasn't afraid to make that change relatively early. And I think, you know, that would probably happen again. So, you know, we've got to get off to a good start. If we get off to a good start, you know, I think we'll be okay. But yeah, the worst thing we can do is kind of lose at the weekend, and then we've got a couple of tough away trips and things coming up, and you know, we can get in that kind of downward spiral again, which I hope isn't going to happen. But you know, this good feeling and momentum that's slowly starting to build, I think could certainly you know, be well, it could certainly stop, couldn't it? If we don't win the next couple of games, or if we don't have a good start. And then the negativity creeps in and people are getting worried again. So, yeah, I'd say mid-table, I think, Brad. I think that's a relatively good place to aim at.
Something to note as well is, I think, according to Iron Stats, Hill is one game away from setting a new record for a winless streak for an Iron manager as well. So there is already a little bit of pressure on.
Yeah, that's it. You know, with Hill, obviously, he must have the worst record now in terms of win percentage, or certainly in the lowest couple. But for me, because of what was happening, obviously it's one step back. There's never really been any pressure on him from sort of the board, I would say. I know Swan had suggested when we spoke that he's not in charge of any decisions. So obviously if Turnbull decided that it was time for Hill to go, then that would be his decision. You know, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. Obviously, when it comes to sort of payoffs and things like that, I'm sure that would be down to Swan at this moment in time. So, you know, we can only, you know, take that at face value. Last season, he got free rein, didn't he, I think? And obviously, he put the kids in there. The positive is they've had a lot more experience that they maybe wouldn't have had. Obviously, we ended the season with a really poor points tally, and we're embarrassed, to be honest, weren't we, by the end of it. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, if there should be more pressure on him this season to deliver. He's got a squad that he says should be good enough. And, you know, he's got to start picking the wins up, because, you know, it's not been good enough, and there's not been sort of that pressure on him, really. Obviously, he puts pressure on himself, and I'm sure he's not happy with the his record here. But, you know, yeah, as I say, it's his players now. He's kind of moulded this squad, and I'm sure he will do further if he's given the opportunity in the next couple of weeks to strengthen it. So, yeah, it's really, you know, he's got to deliver now, and the time for talking really has ended, and he's got to prove now that he is a good manager, because we've seen it elsewhere, and he has got a good record, and that's, you know, when he first came in, you can't question his record elsewhere, but here it's just not been good enough, and he's got to turn that round, and that's got to start this weekend.
Yeah, and I think let's leave it there then. So season kicks off tomorrow. I must say, I'm looking forward to it. I think hopefully it'll be a decent game, and like I say, that there's been a bit of a decent atmosphere around it, and hopefully we can capitalise on that. We'll be back very soon, actually, because we will do one pretty much straight after the Oval game. We'll have a bit of a review of that one. But yeah, thank you for listening to this. And yeah, we'll see you for the next episodes and for the rest of this season of the podcast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.